Blog Talk Radio.
HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm your host, Javon Harley. Visit the website, thetravelingeye.com, where you can friend and like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And we really want you to join our travel club. Today I've got a full hour of great things for you. I'm talking about what you can expect in travel for 2016, destinations that are topping the list, and what's trending. I also have special guest Morel Howard, a travel industry professional, to join in on that discussion. And I'm going to explore the 20 most visited cities in the world. But first, I've got some travel news for you. Last week, Royal Caribbean's Anthem of the Seas set sail from New York to the Bahamas on what was to be a 7-day cruise, but it had to turn around and head back to port after encountering some rough seas. After leaving port on February 6th, a storm that had been brewing for a few days reached 120-mile-per-hour winds and produced 30-foot waves, pushing the ship 45 degrees off-center. Passengers took to social media to post comments and videos on their experience, some stating the cruise line had ample warning of the storm and should have canceled the cruise. Others posted video of waves crashing into the ship and furniture being thrown about. Fortunately, the ship returned safely and all passengers were accounted for with only 4 injuries. Royal Caribbean issued a statement on February 10th apologizing for exposing guests and crew to the weather they faced and for what they went through. They also mentioned the storm far exceeded forecasts and they're strengthening their storm avoidance policy, adding resources at headquarters to provide additional guidance to their ship's captains. Now, the Big Mac report is in. The Economist released its annual Big Mac Index, identifying which countries have the most and the least expensive Big Mac. The countries with the most expensive Big Macs are Switzerland at $6.44, Sweden at $5.23, Norway at $5.21, the United States comes in at $4.93, and Denmark at $4.32. Now, the countries with the least expensive Big Macs are Malaysia at $1.62, South Africa at $1.70, the Ukraine at $4.54, Russia at $1.53, and the least expensive Big Mac burger is in Venezuela at 66 cents. Now, you may be thinking, who cares about the Big Mac Index? Well, this index is also a good indicator of what other goods and services may cost in those countries. So whether or not you're in search of a Big Mac around the globe, the Big Mac Index can be your financial guide. Also in the news is the TSA PreCheck. It's actually getting high remarks from those who are enrolled. 66% of the travelers enrolled in TSA PreCheck are satisfied with their experience and airport security. That's more than half. This is compared to 47% satisfaction from passengers who are not enrolled, less than 50%. I have to say, since TSA has stopped the random selection and only opening the lanes for those who are actual members, my experience has been much better. And that's been one of the complaints when TSA PreCheck rolled out this random selection in their attempt to gain more registered members. But what it did is it slowed down the line. You had passengers who were randomly selected to go through this special line, and they didn't know exactly what it was for, what they could do, that they could leave on their shoes, that they can leave on a light jacket and leave their laptops in their bags. So I think that this rating has really increased because it's now only reserved for those who are actual members. I know my experience was a lot better the last time. Now, last week I told you that a provision of the reauthorization bill for the FAA considering privatizing air traffic control. Well, now the Alliance for Aviation Across America, along with 4 other advocacy groups, have sent a letter to 5 key members of Congress urging them to consider legislation that would privatize the country's air traffic control system. Now, this letter expresses concern about turning over authority of the airport air transport system to an entity serving private interests rather than public. It puts forth questions for Congress to have answered. First and foremost, how would a privatized system ensure that the commercial airlines are not able to influence significant changes or investment decisions that could impact other stakeholders and negatively impact customer service or the timeliness or affordability of air travel in all parts of the country? And if the commercial airlines are basically governing themselves, what recourse would consumers have for complaints and mistreatment? How will public oversight be structured? And how will we guarantee that adequate resources are allocated for robust monitoring and rigorous oversight? I think these are very valid questions. You're talking about something that's for the public being privatized, and we want to make sure that there are some procedures, there's some legislation in place to look out for the traveling public and not just for private interest. And kind of along those same terms, we now have a U.S. congressman who is proposing a law to limit the shrinking airline seat. Now, this is the very first time that something like this has happened, or this attempt as far as the airline seat or the size of it is concerned. Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee, he's proposed establishing mandatory federal minimum size standards for airline passenger seats. And this is very, very important because Americans, we are growing, and the airline seats seem to be shrinking. Now, we're talking about the average width of a person. Let's say if their circumference is about 45 inches, then we're talking about 17, 18 inches wide for the average person. And then the average airline seat is about 17 inches wide. So we're barely fitting in there. And one thing you may want to do to test it out yourself is to just take a seat in maybe your dining room chair or your office chair and measure it and see that comfort level or not, and then see how that compares to an average size of an airline seat of 17 and a half inches. Well, we'll see what happens, and we'll see if he's successful with this shrinking airline seat business. Now, another thing that we talked about last week, and not a specific story, but it was made mention that it's been 30 years since there's been an overhaul of America's airports. Now, we have had airport renovations over the recent years, but they've been kind of one by one, and you know, like New York LaGuardia is getting a well and long overdue renovation. But looking at it on a broad scale, it's been practically 30 years since we've really looked at all of the airports as a whole. And the Federal Aviation Administration reported in 2012 that airline passenger travel will double over the next 20 years. That means that by 2029, 1 billion passengers will travel through the airports in the United States and reaching about 1.1 billion in 2035. The problem is that the airport infrastructure has remained unchanged for at least 20 years and 30 years for some. This is very troubling because there's a lot of desperate need of repair. The predominant source of funding, however, for airport capital expenditures is the passenger facility charge. You may have heard me talk about this before, or if you look at the fare on your airline ticket and you see something that says PFC, well, that's the passenger facility charge. And it's an FAA fee that's up to $4.50 added per passenger ticket so that we can take care of our nation's airports. And that charge hasn't been adjusted for inflation since it was set 15 to 20 years ago. And so even though we've had a small increase to it, it has not kept up with the rate of inflation or the need to refurbish and repair the airports. One of the things is that back in September 2015, it was airports battling the airlines to raise the PFC. Airports wanted to increase the cap on the PFC to $8.50, while the airlines countered saying that passengers are already charged enough fees. Now, I find that very funny because the airlines, who are charging a ton of fees just to go to the bottom line, don't want to charge any more fees or add them to the airline ticket to repair much-needed airports. So I find that very interesting. I was recently looking at some things very interesting and very troubling. These are places that we want to visit in our lifetime, and some of them may significantly change or disappear before we do that. One is the Chacaltaya Glacier in Bolivia. The South American site was once popular among skiers and for a time boasted the world's highest ski lift, but after decades of decline, the mass vanished in 2005. So they're not getting that snow anymore. Also, in the Bung Khak Lake in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, the country used to have the largest wetland located in an urban area, and it was leased to a developer in 2007. And within 3 years of that lease, that entity had filled 90% of the expanse with sand. Oh my goodness. Now, another one here is Mount Humboldt in Venezuela, another once popular attraction for skiers. The upper part of the more than 15,000-foot-high glacier began to succumb to climate change in the 1980s. Now, opportunities to whoosh down that slope are rare at best. We also have Venice, Italy. Now, this is a site that we know probably more than some of the others, but the marshy islands serving as many buildings support were wearing down in part due to human industrial endeavors, and the city is sinking at a rate of 2 millimeters per year. Add to that the Adriatic Sea, which feeds it, rising about 2 millimeters a year. If you add those two up, you're really talking about sinking 4 meters per year. And experts believe the city could sink 80 millimeters over the next 20 years. Measures to slow the process were introduced in 1970, but flooding has nonetheless become an increasing problem. Then there's the Great Barrier Reef. And the Great Barrier Reef may be in more trouble than we think. Of course, it's that underwater string of thousands of smaller reefs and around 900 islands being debilitated. Coral bleaching is among the largest problem, and climate change is at the top of the list of damaging agents. Scientists believe that if nothing is done to combat rising global temperatures, the Great Barrier Reef could disappear in 20 years. The reef has lost over half of its coral since 1985. Recent reports state that cyclones and crown of thorn starfish have also caused damage. Well, that's it for travel news. When I come back, I'll have Javon's Travel Minute, special guest Morel Howard, and top destinations and trends for 2016. This is The Traveling Eye. I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back to The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm your host, Javon Harley. Don't forget to visit the website. It's thetravelingeye.com. There you can find all sorts of things like The Traveling Eye blog, travel tips, and you can join the travel club.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there are 1 billion people who fly commercially each year. Now, consider that some of that 1 billion may have the cold or flu, which means you have to be mindful of avoiding those germs during your travels. You want to clean contaminated surfaces. Using sanitizing sheets, clean your tray table, seat arms, seat belt, and places on and off the aircraft where you dine. You want to sanitize your hands. You touch so many things when you're traveling by air, starting with the kiosk at the airport to check in, your boarding pass, going through TSA, lounge seats. The list is endless. Start building your immune system even before you travel. You want to stay well rested and hydrated, eat right, take your vitamins, and I like to take immune-boosting drinks while I'm traveling. Now, just a few precautions and mindful thinking can keep you feeling great and enjoying your travels. Sitting in with me today is a good friend and fellow travel professional, Morel Howard. She is a certified travel agent and has been a travel professional for 11 years. Morel is going to help me with today's topic, and that is where to go and what's trending in 2016. Hello, Morel, and welcome to the Traveling Eye.
Hello, Javon. Thank you so much for having me.
It is always a pleasure. It has been quite some time since you've been on with me.
It has. It's been about a year.
Well, I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
And chatting with me about a brand new year. Let's get started with where to go in 2016. You know, one of the destinations that I have seen on the top of everyone's list, that's Mozambique. Mozambique is a fascinating country because it gives you many different looks. It's a coastal country, mm-hmm. which means you have beautiful coastlines, you have beautiful beaches, and that's one of the things that's great about it, is that you can go on safari and then do a safari beach extension.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been on safari before, you know that there's a lot of dust up there. It's kind of rugged. You're out in the bush. It's a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, sometimes you really do feel like being on the beach.
Just relaxing.
And just relaxing. Mm-hmm. And Mozambique does offer that. So many companies are now offering those extensions. They're also having a lot of investment in resorts and hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the existing ones are refurbishing, but also there are some brand new ones that's going to be coming up soon. One other one is Abu Dhabi.
Mm.
They have really been working on a lot of development. I was there in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and I went to one of the museums, and they were talking about the museums and attractions that they were working on for the next 5 to 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and they have some phenomenal projects there, and a few that are going to open this year. One is the Louvre
mm-hmm.
in Abu Dhabi.
And Abu Dhabi versus the one in Paris.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the French are too happy about the
yes.
Louvre having a home someplace
yes,
else.
Yes.
That is one of those major, major attractions that's coming
mm-hmm.
in late 2016. They also have the Guggenheim that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have a lot of projects that are on the table and a lot of things happening. Beautiful accommodations, opulence to the umpteenth degree.
Yes.
And what they already have there, of course, is they have Ferrari Land,
mm-hmm.
the amusement park that's all Ferraris, which is really fabulous.
And then paradise.
Yes, and then they also have the Grand Mosque, and it's called the Pearl of West. It is absolutely beautiful. So whereas before people went, they went to Dubai, and then like we did with a day trip, go over to Abu Dhabi,
mm-hmm.
I think people are going to start spending more time
mm-hmm.
in Abu Dhabi. What's been on the list for 2016 with your clients?
Well, one of the places that's been on my list is Fukuoka, Japan. Now, Fukuoka, Japan is south of Hiroshima. It's a great small town. It's traditional, steeped in culture, and it's just beautiful from its food to its shopping to the people that are there. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And then in addition to that, too, as well, you can take the bullet train from Fukuoka all the way up to Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
and that's only about a six-hour train ride, and then you can also take it to Osaka, which is going to be maybe about a four-hour train ride, too, as well.
Right.
So you can actually cover the entire country in a day via train, and the countryside is so beautiful and awesome.
The countryside is beautiful. I went to Japan in January of 2015,
mm-hmm.
and I took the train, and you will love the train. If you say 4 hours, 6 hours on the train, you're not going to mind, because the train ride is fabulous.
It
and
is.
We took the train from Tokyo to Osaka,
mm-hmm.
and you get a chance to see Mount Fuji
mm-hmm.
on the way,
yes.
and it is beautiful. It's almost like it's floating out there.
Mm-hmm.
But
it does.
Yeah.
It does. It kind of floats in the background with the, sometimes it'll have the, you can see the clouds and things of that nature, but it is absolutely beautiful and stunning.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. Here's another one that's on the list, and this specifically that I've seen, this one was on the New York Times list of top destinations for 2016, and that's San Sebastian. But what I wanted to do is to really talk about the Basque country. San Sebastian is in Spain, and it's in the Basque country of Spain. But Basque is this wonderful place that's very authentic. They pride themselves on not really having touristy attractions, but that when the tourist comes to Basque country, you're going to get that authentic experience, and you're going to immerse yourself in that Basque culture. But one thing that's been happening in a lot of the Basque areas, the different cities, San Sebastian is one of them, is that this culinary experience. Mm-hmm. They have some of basics as far as farm-to-table experiences, but they also have a high number of Michelin star restaurants throughout the Basque region. In San Sebastian, actually throughout Basque, but one of the things that we did in the Old Town Square in San Sebastian is we went for this cuisine called pinchos. And pinchos are kind of like tapas.
Okay.
But think about anything that's on a bread, a piece of bread, like a rustic piece of French bread that you cut a little piece of, and
mm-hmm.
then you can put it on top. And the toppings are a long, long list, anything from seafood to beef to vegetables, cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
So they're called pinchos.
Pinchos.
And yeah, and you go from place to place. One of the things to do, they're usually very small bars that you go up to, and you order your pinchos, and you usually order like two or three.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a larger party, you order a lot, and
mm-hmm.
then people just share.
Okay.
And then you wash it down with a wine called Chacolí. It's a white wine. It's a little on the sweet side. It's not a high-end wine,
mm-hmm.
But they do have some wonderful wine regions
mm-hmm.
there in the Basque country as well. So that's one to look
okay.
out for. And before we come home to the United States, what other destination have your clients been looking for in 2016?
Well, one of the destinations would be Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically if you were to go that far away, you would want to do something kind of exotic. But for the most part, they're just wanting to go just to do the standard basic city tour. Just want to do the basic tourist things that you do if you were to go to Sydney, Australia, meaning to go to the Opera House,
mm-hmm.
To do a walkabout where you can see the joeys, what I mean by the kangaroos. You know, there's so many indigenous animals and insects that are there that are privileged just to that destination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're beautiful. They look strange and exotic, but they're absolutely beautiful. To the Great Barrier Reef, the water is just so beautiful and crystal clear. And in addition to that, too, as well, taking a tour, just going to the top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, where you can go and just latch yourself on and just walk all the way up to the top, and you could just, the panoramic view up there is awesome. It's amazing.
It really is, and I've done that Sydney Harbour Bridge
mm-hmm.
a couple of times, actually, and it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've done the Great Barrier Reef.
Mm-hmm.
That water there is beautiful, and did some snorkeling. I didn't do diving, but I did do
okay.
some snorkeling. I did not do a walkabout.
I would love to do a walkabout.
Yeah, but I did go to Ayers Rock or Uluru,
uh-huh.
and we did a sundowner, and we did those things, but didn't go on a walkabout.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they do have some animals that don't exist in other places
no.
in the world outside of a zoo,
uh-huh.
so that is fascinating to see. Well, let's talk about here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
One on the top of the list, which is a very special thing for me, is Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is the National Mall. The National Mall, of course, as we know, has the Smithsonian's. It has the landmarks, the museums. And they're now going to have a brand new museum that's been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And that is slated to open later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited
Me
about
too.
That.
So am I.
The
so
first time that there is a museum on the mall
mm-hmm.
for African Americans. And I think it is a huge contribution to not only Washington, D.C. and the United States, but to the world as well, that people can come to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, visit the mall,
mm-hmm.
and also visit the National Museum of African American History.
I agree. I can't wait to go and see that. I'm so excited about the exhibits and the artifacts that they actually have coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating time just to go and see it. It
yeah.
really will be.
They've been collecting the artifacts for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to have different exhibits. Of course, the exhibits will be presented, giving that perspective of the African-American history and African-American experience
mm-hmm.
Through cultural artifacts, and they're still collecting, and they will, it's collecting artifacts is an ongoing process for any museum, and I just can't wait for this to unfold and we can see what's there. And it's going to go from Africa all the way to current day Africans in America. So I really, really can't wait for that. Perfect. That is absolutely
me
huge.
Too.
And it's my hometown. Now, talking about African American heritage, the Blues Museum, the National Blues Museum, is going to open this year in April in St. Louis. Yeah,
that
how fascinating is that?
That is great.
It really is. I mean, blues music is part of the fiber of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very much connected to the African American history and heritage in America, musically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that music represents the culture of African Americans. So that is really fantastic.
It is. That's another one to be very excited about, to go see the blues. And when you go to St. Louis, you've got to make sure that you have barbecue.
Yes.
St. Louis has some of the best barbecue, so you can't have blues without the barbecue in St. Louis.
That is the truth. They go hand in hand.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they really do. Now, the other one, the last one that we're going to talk about on our list of places to see and where to go in 2016 is all of the national parks in America. So America's national parks are actually going to celebrate their centennial on August 25th, 2016, the National Park Service, that is.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 years as the National Park Service will be celebrated August 25th, 2016. And in honor of that, they're giving you 16 days of free admission to the 127 national parks.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Yellowstone, Alaska's Denali National Park, the Joshua Tree National Park in California.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give a shout out to Jeff and Deb Ulf there, some of our loyal listeners. And Jeff has a story that I'm going to invite him on one time and have him tell you his story, his love of national parks. I think that we need to get out in nature more, visit those national parks.
And that's great, too, as well, because they do a lot of the conservation of animals and plants in the national parks, too, as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like you said, an open-door wildlife zoo of sort of speak. But that's one of the reasons why I really adore and love the work that they're doing with the national parks. And 100 years is a long time, so I'm excited about 100 years and look forward to 100 more.
Absolutely. And don't forget those landmarks that are there and some of those historical destinations or places that are on the register that are in the National Park Services that you may not think about, like the Frederick Douglass home in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
is part of the National Park Services. So think about that as well. A lot of history and culture and wildlife and nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very
important. Don't think about that, so that's good to know.
Yeah, that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on to what to expect in air travel in 2016. I think a lot is going to happen in air travel in 2016, and I think that this is kind of maybe a year that's going to start to change things. One of the things that I know is going to happen is creative seating. You're going to see more upscale airports and long-haul flights.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is more affordable private air travel.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular, Delta Airlines, they have rolled out a program. You know, they have private jet service program.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is created this program where you can purchase a private air travel package, and it coexists with their commercial, their scheduled flights.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you buy this package, it's usually for a term for so many months.
Uh-huh.
You can fly as much as you can within that period. Package that you pay on private or commercial air service with Delta. And when you buy it, you automatically get upgraded to their medallion level on their frequent flyer program.
Perfect.
So it is a way of just making it more affordable. They have private air service where you can share it with others. I mean, sharing is like the big, big, big thing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's not so expensive. It's not like you and you alone on that flight.
Right.
You can share that cost with others. But I like what Delta has done
with
combining that. And as a corporation, you can combine it because you can let other people use it. It doesn't, of course, in scheduled air, it has to be in your name. But for the private air, it does. You do not have to be the only person or the person traveling.
That's perfect. If you have a company convention for your company and you can utilize that, that will be one. That's great.
It is. It is. And it, I think it winds up being much more cost effective when you eliminate those other things that come along with commercial and scheduled air travel with delays and cancellations when they don't affect private, those things that don't affect private travel. Now, what are you seeing in your daily works as far as what is going to happen in 2016 for air travel?
One of the things I'm seeing are the use of more apps. I know everyone loves the apps, so people are actually app happy. And in reference to this trend when it comes to travel, United and American Airlines, they have actually partnered up with two companies to utilize their app system so that it can make your travel experience a lot better and easier. For example, American Airlines has partnered up with Apple Core. The premise of that is to find locations in the airport where you can actually have better downtime. You can find perfect places in the airport if you have a long layover, if your flight has been canceled or delayed, that you can find an actual cubbyhole or spot in the airport. So that's a good app. Another one is with United Airlines. They have an actual Bluetooth beacon. And what that means is that can get you to your terminal faster. So if you're running late and you're running late to the airport, you can download that app, the Bluetooth beacon app, and you can get to your terminal very, very fast. But the only thing with that is it's only in the Newark airport for right now.
Okay.
So only travelers that are on United Airlines and in Newark airport can use that, but it'll get you to your terminal faster.
Right. And they always have test markets, and Newark airport is one of their hubs, so I'm sure they're going to start rolling it out to other places. But yeah, we need these things to kind of help us navigate a little bit more, and we are spending more time in airports. Airports are getting larger, and sometimes when you have gate-to-gate or terminal-to-terminal connections, you want to know, okay, what's the best way for me to get there? What am I going to see along the way? I'm always looking for a Starbucks. So I want the app that says, where's the nearest Starbucks? Because I don't want to get to my gate and then have to go all the way back the other way.
Exactly.
So those apps can really, really help you out. You know what? One of the other things that I'm finding is with TSA. TSA rolled out, of course, the pre-check. And it's $85 for 5 years. I actually was able to get it for a little bit less because I was part of Global Entry already.
Okay.
And so if you're part of Global Entry, you can get TSA pre-check. TSA pre-check allows you to go through TSA without taking off your shoes and your belt, your outer light jacket. You don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. You're a pre-approved, trusted traveler. Well, then they had the bright idea to increase membership, and by doing so, they randomly let people get into the TSA pre-check line. No, it didn't go over too well to the actual members who had paid the fee. I, for one, was not happy with it. One, because people don't understand what it is. So now you've put them in this line, and now they're taking off their shoes, and they're constantly making these announcements, don't do this. Now the TSA pre-check line is longer than the regular line.
Absolutely.
So they're putting the brakes on that, and I'm very, very happy that they're putting the brakes on it. Yeah.
There you are.
Thank you very much. Membership only means something.
It does. You pay for that convenience. I agree.
You do. And if you're having open enrollment, okay, but have it only for a short period. Don't just keep doing it. I'm sorry.
Open enrollment for the entire year.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, it's not. If you didn't reach your goal by now, give it up. Let's talk about some tech trends for 2016, because every year there's something new, and they're useful. Sometimes, you know, you're trying to figure out what it is that you need to do, but you need help a lot of times, and you need things to make it a lot easier for you, and technology certainly does that.
It does.
A couple of things I really love that's trending right now technology-wise is with the robots. Now, last year on one of my news stories, I talked about Dubai's international airport, and they were going to have robots to help with the security screening and ask people those questions. So if you're standing there, the robot's going to come up to to you and you have to answer so many questions and then you're on your way. That's going to help in the process. And they said it would help speed things up. Also, hotels are getting into the business with robots to help anything from carrying luggage to helping you check in and also delivering food, room service.
To your room,
yeah.
By via robot.
Yeah. So you get the knock on the door, but think about it. You don't have to tip the robot.
I was just thinking that. At first I was thinking, I don't know how I feel about a robot coming up with wheels, giving me my food, but if I don't have to tip him, I'm all for it.
Right. You don't have to tip the robot. You can just say thank you.
Thank you. Good day. Glass half full. I'm liking this idea a lot more.
I just hope that the robot cannot be accosted on the way there and somebody, you know, the robot arrives and there's no food
on
your drink.
That is true. Here's your food. No, it's not. Someone stole my dinner.
Now you got to call downstairs. I'm sorry, the robot arrived, but no food was on the tray.
That is so interesting. I wonder how they're going to do that. And if that happens, that is such a hilarious story.
I'm joking, but
that's
I'm
funny.
Sure.
Yes.
I am sure. I haven't researched it, but I'm sure it's going to have to be secured.
Some precautions.
Maybe in some kind of heating element to keep it warm inside the robot and maybe even locked so that somebody, because I don't want to think that somebody can mess with my food.
Exactly. I'm thinking, you know, with the lid on top of it and you have to insert your room key in
yeah.
order for it to open, that type of thing. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be interesting to see how it works. But yes.
The other thing is drones. I saw this on Ellen DeGeneres not too long ago, and anybody who knows me knows that I love selfies. And so this is the ultimate selfie, and this is with a drone, so you can get an aerial photo and video of yourself. So you take this drone, and you turn it on, you throw it up in the air, and then it's supposed to follow you around.
Throw it up in the air?
Yeah. Well, it'll hover over
wow.
you, and it'll take pictures of you. And I'm like, how cool.
Oh, my God. You talk about, that's the selfie right there. First you have the selfie stick. Now you just have this hovering over you taking photos.
The thing when Ellen DeGeneres tried it out on her show, she threw it up in the air, and then she went back in the building, and it hit the building.
Oh,
it's
it
like,
followed
so,
her.
Right. It tried to follow her, but it only works outside.
Okay.
So you can't go inside. It's not gonna know to duck down and
exactly,
get into
yeah.
the door with you. So that was funny. She went in and just left it out there.
Oh, no. The drone is taking selfies of nothing outside. But that
yeah.
is interesting. I wonder how you get it down once it gets up there. Or
well, I'm sure it's
far.
Like a remote, just
yeah.
like any other drone is on a remote. So then you cut it off and reel
yeah.
it in, I
technology
guess.
Is something else.
Yeah.
Oh, who would have thought just 5 years ago that we would have this type of technology, would be able to do that? That's wonderful.
No, and every year it's getting better, and every year it's changing and moving ahead. Now, what are your clients using, or what are people talking about in your circle mm-hmm. with technology or trends, tech trends for 2016?
Tech trends, I love this one. It is called a digital backpack.
Mm.
Now, what it is, it is actually a backpack that actually has a barcode and a little chip on inside of it, and it looks like a regular backpack, and
mm-hmm.
you can put it on your luggage. Now, what the premise behind this is that in case your luggage is lost or stolen, you can track it. And if it's delayed, they can track it. And they've tested this for the past few months, and it's going to actually be – the official launch will be later this year, 2016. Now, you can go ahead and it's so easy and simple, just attach it to your bag, and you can put it through to check your bag, and everything will already be encoded in there
mm-hmm.
per your particular trip.
Sorry.
So I think that's an actual wonderful – it's a wonderful new trend that's going on.
Yeah.
It is absolutely perfect for long hauls. It's perfect for corporate travelers,
mm-hmm.
and it's perfect for just for anyone. For the
right.
most part, it's perfect for anyone.
Right.
No matter the type of travel, leisure or business.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, because we always want to know where our bags are,
yeah.
and that's the fear of checking a bag. Is it going to arrive with me?
Exactly.
Is it going to be there when I get there?
Exactly.
And that dreaded standing around the conveyor belt, and then your bag doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that feeling. So now you have something. That you can track it with. You know, the funny thing, Lufthansa is launching this now, but a couple of years ago, a company sent me this digital bag tag
mm-hmm.
called Rebound Tag, and I attach it on. So they have these stations throughout, once you register your tag, they have these stations throughout various airports.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever your bag is, it picks up that signal.
Okay.
So that's how they track it. That's what I like about the digital bag tag, because you don't have to rely on a person
mm-hmm.
scanning that baggage tag, because if they don't scan it, then they can't tell you where it is.
Exactly.
Or a lot of times now with the airlines, they say, well, it was last scanned here,
mm-hmm.
where that chip will constantly pick up a signal wherever they have the transmitters.
The transmitter.
So I think that is fantastic. Well, that's it for 2016. When we come back, we'll discover the 20 most visited cities. I'm Javon Harley with The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.